Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 5 of Hometown Glory, your Spurs and Culture podcast. I'm Rosa and I'm delighted to be joined by Hometown Glory cousins, Sam, making his second appearance. Welcome back, Sam.
Thank you so much. Pleased to be here.
I'm so pleased to have you here because I didn't get the chance to say to you last week that I consider the Australia-England semi-final the Ashes tiebreaker.
I don't think I agree with you there, but
agree to disagree. But you know, facts don't care about your feelings.
I thought I did my best to speak for you last week, though. In terms
you
of
you did, I appreciate the
also chat and whatnot. But yeah, it's nice to be on the pod with you.
It's so good to have you back, and we have Lauren who is making her official debut. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, very happy to be here.
Now you and I chatted before on our sort of round table pod, but hopefully this one is going to be slightly lighter fare. I mean, it depends. We're going to dig into your origin story, so I don't know how dark that gets. Your Spurs, so it probably gets quite dark.
Yeah, this we're a resilient bunch.
We really are. We've really got to be. Yeah. So that leads us quite nicely, actually, because this really was a week, wasn't it? Saw the two faces of Ange. A good Ange and a bad Ange, or was it just Spurs being inevitably, inexorably, undeniably Spurs? Either way, we'll get into the Bournemouth win and the embarrassing cup exit at Fulham. We'll preview the Burnley game, catch up with Spurs women, and of course, dish out our culture recommendations. But first, Lauren, your initiation ceremony begins with the Spurs 7, all the questions that we've got to ask all our guests. And number one is your Spurs origin story. And how did you end up with this basket case of a club?
So it's funny because I don't actually remember not supporting Spurs, but my dad's a Spurs fan and my mum's a Chelsea fan.
Oh, my God. And how do they work?
I have no idea. I mean, to be fair, I live with my mum and it's great rivalry, but I clearly had a choice to make. I was young enough to not remember making the choice, but yeah, I went with Spurs for my
it's
sins.
Always it's always the been... dads, like how do they do it to us, man? And I feel like at least with a lot of us, you know, like with me, my mum wasn't interested in football, so I was like, okay, well, I'll just go with my dad. But like, your mum could have saved you. I mean, she couldn't have saved you because you'd rather be Tottenham, right?
Yeah, and I would actually like
just
to
a little
point out,
I
was born mid-90s, so it was before Chelsea were actually any good. So I'd like to say it was before the Abramovich era, so it wasn't as if there was no glory hunting or whatever going on. But it has been painful over the years. There's a signed photo of Ashley Cole in this person. But yeah, like I said, I think we're resilient and there's no other club for me, so we're in it for the long haul.
We really have to be,
at least we'll
like there's no other. We do stick together. I really feel like that. I mean, we've got Sam literally from the other side of the world.
Yeah,
misery loves company.
So true, so true. We reach out to each other. Okay, so that's the classic. That's a real classic Tottenham origin story with a little twist, I think. I like that. Your all-time favourite Spurs player?
It's got to be Gareth Bale. I think I always really, really love Harry Kane, but Bale for me was like the one player where... You know, his final season when you're just like, yeah, the best player in the league plays for my club. And it was that feeling, it was that confidence that you could just give him the ball and he'd do something special. And I think like so many of us Spurs fans have got different memories of different goals, but not just like the goal itself, but remembering what you were doing. I'll never forget the Spurs West Ham and we were away, the 3-2 winner. And I remember that goal because I had food poisoning and I just remember being in bed and I couldn't even like focus on the TV. I was listening on the radio and he scored And I like must have summoned some energy. I threw up afterwards because I was really ill. But it was just that
So
it
like
was
a
just
peak
that.
Spurs experience, I think,
It
right
was.
there.
It was, and I just think, yeah, like, and when he came back, like when like I don't often get players' names like on the back of my shirt, but I went and got my Bale 9 shirt, and I just think, yeah, it was just that period where I just thought, yeah, we have the best player in the league, and you could give him the ball on the halfway line, outside the box, wherever it was, that left foot, yeah,
You knew magic
Bale
was
for
going to
me.
happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he was a real, because I love, I think Harry Kane just really is, I think he's the best we'll ever see. Like I can't imagine, like as much as it hurts right now, I will never see his like again, really. But Gareth Bale was that real, like everybody just stands up, bums off seats. You're just waiting for something like explosive and incredible to happen. So, and that's, yeah, we were really blessed, man. It's such a shame that his kind of comeback, like nobody got to see it.
Yeah, because I just think, like, obviously, every kind of, couple of seasons, every summer before that, we were like, oh, it'd be great to see Bale back. But when he did come back, and it was just like, we were tracking the flight. It was just,
So good.
it was the
Classic Spurs
experience.
time.
Yeah. It was just like, it's just a club here, like a club hero. Even though, Kane, what he's done and the consistency that he's shown, he's been missed to Spurs. But I think, yeah, Bale, like, it's just like first love when you're just like truly like, yeah, this, yeah. So,
Yeah,
well, happy
are you a season
retirement.
ticket holder, Lauren?
No, I'm a member for the men's, but season ticket holder for the
Yeah.
women's. It's actually really kind of disappointing because this summer was the first summer that my dad and I both came up in the waiting list, and we were both eligible to get season tickets. And after last season, we were like, it's not worth the money, and now we regret
Oh
it. Yeah, now Ange Ball, and we're already sniffing around trying to get tickets. But
Well, you know, who knows? It could all still go horribly wrong, but we will get to that now. You've been watching Spurs for long enough that I know you will have a favourite, terrible or cult player, like the player that you will just defend against all sense and reason, no matter what other people say, and no matter what the evidence of your eyes is, quite frankly. We've all got one.
You know what? It's I was trying to think. I mean, we've got the classics like Sissoko, but I'm actually going to stick my neck out and I'm going to say Ndombele, because
Okay. Whoa, that is bold.
until the injury in pre-season, I was convinced he could come back. I'm a person that I don't watch player comps when we're linked to somebody. I don't want to watch a defender's goals because you just don't get an accurate picture of what that player is. When we were linked to Ndombele, I watched so many videos. I was convinced, like, oh my God, we signed a massive player here. He's got bundles of talent, which he still does. But
Yeah.
just no applications. I think that one for me, where I'm just like, but I still be, I know next summer, if it's only a loan or whatever, I know myself. I know I'll be there. Like, oh, maybe
It
it's
could still
time.
happen.
I just can't give up on him, which is really disappointing because I feel like he's given up on Spurs or his own career.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he did play a
yeah,
bit. He did play at Napoli. Like, he didn't start, but
he come off
he
the
did.
bench.
Yeah. So it's not like he's just kind of sat around doing nothing for however many years. I just, I think that's part of football, though, isn't it? Like, there are just players, and I have the same with Davinson Sanchez, right? Like, oh God, just take a moment for my poor Dav and his penalty last night. Jesus. Like, until he leaves, and probably, and even after, I'll just root for him. It's just, there are just some players that it doesn't really matter how kind of chaotic or kind of hapless or lazy or charmless or whatever. There's something about them where you're just like, that's, they're my guy. I'm really sad that Ndombele is yours. I feel for you.
I'm really just I just but I just know I whatever it is, whether it's a group chat or whatever, I just start defending him and I'm like, why are you doing this? But I can't help it. But yeah, maybe this summer will be the one where I give up. But we may still be stuck with him, which
I
I'm
mean,
sure
we
we'll
will.
discuss.
He's literally not leaving. Like,
Yeah, so I don't know. You never know.
yeah, he'll be here. We'll be having this conversation again in a year for absolute certain. What about when you do get to go to the games? And this, and I think this can be true for the men's or the women's game, actually. What do you have, like a match day ritual
Yeah,
that
so
you've
I
got
think
to do?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the routine going to the new stadium, new White Hart Lane with my dad, it's we have a meet at Northumberland Park, then we're going down Park Lane, the Olive Branch, where most of my family are from Jamaica, so they serve Ray and nephew, so that's where we go as part of our pre-match drinks, and then there's a Jamaican takeaway right next door, so then we're always going to get some jerk chicken, some white rice or rice and peas, whatever it is, get a red stripe, drink that up Park Lane, and every time we go to a match, whether it's an evening match or whatever, that's kind of part of the ritual that feels just as important as kind of doing that routine as it is kind of actually being at the game itself. And I think for me and my dad, we've always connected over football and Spurs. That's the longest conversations that we'll ever have. We'll go backwards and forwards. Even today, we're messaging like, "Oh, what do we think we're doing at the end of the transfer window?" So those are the kind of, I think, matches that I cherish the most when I go with him, because I wouldn't support Spurs without him, I guess. So.
Yeah, so you need to find something nice. That's really lovely, actually. Because I used to go with my dad all the time, but then obviously, as you guys know, my partner Ollie is a Spurs fan, and so the sort of match day rituals kind of just naturally changed. But I always like we just always had our own little rituals of kind of meeting for coffee and stuff beforehand, and those are just so like those memories, man. And the fact that you can never stop talking about Tottenham. It's so weird, isn't it?
It's like we're obsessed. It's like being on a
Like,
really
I think
kind of
there's no
like,
like about
it's like it is a long-term toxic
Yeah.
most of the time relationship,
The
but
longest relationship any of us have ever been in. Like, fact. Tragic fact. So you bought yourself a Gareth Bale shirt once upon a time. Do you have others? Do you have a favorite? What's your favorite kit?
So I would say probably my favorite kit that I've ever had has got to be my first shirt. And my mum said when I was younger, I wouldn't get a player on the back because I would say that it's not my name. So maybe I've just switched it up over the years. But I
That's
had
really cute. I love
yeah,
that.
I had Lauren on the back, and then number 14, which was David Ginola's number.
Nice.
So I cherish that shirt. I've got all my shirts, I keep them all, but
How
I would
many do you
say
have?
probably.
Are you as bad as Charlie? I mean, nobody actually really know. I don't think any of us actually know how bad Charlie is, but I think as
I mean, at least one a season, but I can't lie.
okay.
Nike have made it hard over recent seasons. But probably my recent shirt has got to be the Space away shirt, which was probably what 21, 22, that season. I was just
That like
like, do you know what? I
mad
like
wavy
it.
one.
Yeah. I was like, do you know what? It's different, and I'm glad I got it because it sold out really quickly.
I've got that one. That's the only one I own actually, because I don't buy shirts typically, but that one I was like, that's really cool. I love it.
So I would say out of the recent ones, that's my favorite. But I'm very much like I associate shirts with players. So like at the when we were sponsored by Mansion with the kind of like the yellow panels, that always reminds me of Tom Huddleston. So it's just
Oh.
yeah, and things like that. Shoot. But
Don't
yeah, it's
shoot.
just yeah,
Just
different
move
memories.
faster. Just go somewhere.
Bless him. He did a job.
Yeah. He did. He did a job of a kind. It's really true. The big questions. I feel like these two are the biggest, really. Your Spurs heaven. The moment in time, the period, the player. You just were like, that's it.
Do you know what it was? Lucas Moura. I remember I was at the pub with some friends, like not too far from Tottenham Hill, and that moment when he got the third goal, and it was just the hysteria. Like people in the pub, some people had dropped to their knees, people were screaming. But that moment of like, oh my God, we've done it! Like I was in tears. Like it was just that happy kind of. Just what an achievement, the kind of the way it happened, being stood in like in the pub in the first half, like, oh my God, like what is this? Yeah, I would say that in terms of actual kind of feeling of being a Spurs fan, unfortunately we don't really win many trophies or get to many finals, so we don't have that feeling often. But But yeah, that was.
But there was nothing, was you know. Nice. I love that though, because I really, when we first started doing these questions, I was always, like, we were a bit like, do we need to tell people that it can't, you can't pick Amsterdam, because otherwise it's going to be everyone's moment. But.
But is that it? Was
it was perfect.
That feeling.
You can't. You can't deny
if you could bottle it,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like it was just the sense of euphoria that I've never really like experienced before. Like because we've just never. You know, okay, you know, we've got to League Cup finals. I've been alive for one trophy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it was the kind of manner of it. Like even the BT Sport or TNT now, that no filter bit that they did of that whole night, I can't watch that without welling up still to this
same,
day.
Same.
Yeah, like it's yeah. just such an emotion, because it brings back all of the emotions of what, you know, we'll always remember what we were doing on that night. I mean, I urge the players and Ange to give us another moment to talk about in the future. But yeah.
But as it stands, and you know, it's also amazing because we did all of that with no manager. So really incredible, an incredible achievement. and the reverse, obviously, your Spurs hell.
I would say it was the, because I went to watch the final in the stadium on the big screen. It was the walk back to the station.
Yeah.
And it was similar to the walk. I was at Wembley for the Juventus. This is the history of Tottenham game. And it was just that walk of kind of silence when you're, like, even yesterday, like, going to bed, it's just kind of like, when are we going to get over the line? And it just, and especially the Champions League, because we just didn't turn up. We just didn't play well. Terrible start. We just never recovered. And it was kind of like all of that build-up. Like, I just remember, I live in Stratford, and I got on a train that was going to Shenfield instead of getting on a train that was going to Liverpool Street. Like,
oh,
I was
no.
so, I was like, I was so kind of like, you know, just away with the fairies. So I was so excited for that final, and just to kind of to think that not only did we lose, we lost in that way. And it was just a really down feeling for having such a high for getting there and then losing. So yeah, I would say that or when we sack Poch.
You're not allowed to have another one. There's too many.
But yeah, but
I'm gonna
say that was probably like the most miserable, even though Conte did test me last season as well. But
I mean,
but
and you were with me as well, weren't you? You were like a Conte defender, like
after that press conference, I was like, no, but
I know, I was like, is he made, you know, he's just a passionate man, whatever. And he's not, I know, man.
Yeah.
What are we thinking? The thing about that final is I'll just never forget the fact that we didn't even get like one entire minute to enjoy it. Not even like a full 60 seconds.
Yeah, like some people hadn't even sat down in their seats in the stadium. And what annoys me now is that because of that, they changed the handball rule I'm not going to get irritated again.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of, yeah.
We'll spiral. We can save spiraling for later.
Yeah.
So given all of that, the history and what's happening now, where would you say you are with Spurs right now?
I think I'm optimistic. Like, I feel excited again. Mm-hmm. Like, I will always, my happiest time as a fan was under Poch, even, you know, what's happened now, him going down the road. But, and I think the signs that I saw in pre-season with Ange, what we've seen in the Premier League games, I just feel like I believe in him that he would get me back to that happiness as a fan, that I've got a project to believe in, I've got a vision, I can see the team, the identity, I can identify with the team again. Yesterday, I was like, this is the team that I know.
We're going to be tested.
And I know that, and I know we're going to have some bad results, but I feel like I have belief back. Like last season after the AC Milan game, I said, I'm not coming back to the stadium again, unless the women were playing, and that's the only time I came back. I was just like, I don't feel connected to the team, and I feel connected to the team. I feel connected, I guess, to players who last season I was just like, you're not playing for the badge, so why should I care? So I think he's done such a good job in such a short amount of time.
Do you feel like there's one player? Because I've really, I don't know if I've had it in for Christian Romero, but well, maybe I have. But Ollie said to me the other day, because I felt like last season he really, you know, and I know loads of people disagree with me, but I was really like, he doesn't care about Tottenham. Like, he can't be bothered. He clearly can't be bothered. And Ollie asked me the other day, he was like, so, like, are you back on board the Cootie train? And I was like, fuck yeah. And like, it only took, you know, one head injury, but he's done it. Like, it's fine. But is there like a particular player or a couple of players where you were like, I was out with them and now we're back in?
I think similar feelings about Romero, but for different reasons, because it's like, I've seen you in an Argentina shirt and I want that Romero. Like, I want that Cootie. But I just think also, you know, Van der Ven's done such a good job. You're playing alongside a competent defender. I think it's just made a hell of a difference. I would say, who else has turned it around for me? Emerson Royale. But he started to do that towards the end of last season. But yeah. I was very much, can't believe we've wasted our money on this guy. And I think, you know, he's showing now that he's, you know, a capable player. But yeah, it's so hard because if we had recorded this like 2 days ago, I probably would get more babes. And then some of them, I just saw the same one behavior yesterday. So it's hard.
All I will say is these things take time, you know. I never want, you know, that man, that snake, it did take him quite a long time to like get us to a point of just sort of exercising some of our ghosts and kind of rewiring our DNA. And he didn't do it completely, but we had a lot of joy, a lot of unexpected joy over that 5-year period. So I think it's just because we were all just getting very giddy, and that's fine. And like, we deserve to be giddy because it's been a real slog for the last 4 years. So this has brought us back down to earth a little bit, but hopefully it's just a bump in the road. I've got one last question for you, Lauren, before we get into all of that, which is that I'm dying to know, I am going to have to say Pochettino's name, but I actually, like, I'm dying to know what your mum thinks about him.
Do you know what? I think she took some belief in him because of how hard I rode for that man.
God damn it.
Yeah. So I think because she knows how much I love him and the time that how I felt watching our team, I think she has belief that because she knows what he could, you know, she basically became almost like a Pochettino adjacent fan because of how much I loved him. And I watched so many PSG games as well, which she watched a handful of them as well. So I think she's on board. But
damn it. That's not the energy we need. We need fans to like really drive him out.
But yeah, even the Chelsea girls on my podcast, they were kind of like below our standards. And now they're like, he's the guy. And it's annoying because that's what Poch does. I'm never gonna sit anywhere and say I hate that man, because him going to Chelsea is very painful. But at the same time, I don't want to see him successful. So
no, I want to see him fail miserably.
The sooner he gets sacked, the more comfortable I'll feel.
Exactly. We'll just let us be at peace.
Yeah,
like, we don't need this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad enough kind of having to go through this period now of seeing Kane on it feels like he's on Sky all the time. at Bayern and watching Poch bloody celebrate Chelsea goals. It's just
I did watch Kane's first game for Bayern, actually not the first game where he was playing in that stupid cup final, which thank God they didn't win, but I couldn't help myself, and it was so weird. And also, like, I just still, my default is still to defend him. It's yeah, really like,
I'm literally like, duh, 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 duh. Oh, actually, wait, that's not my problem anymore.
Yeah.
but yeah, I think the first Bundesliga game was too soon, but I did watch the second one where he got a couple. Yeah. I'm just hoping that Bayern and Arsenal get each other in the Champions League, and I need him to remember his loyalties.
Yes.
that's what use he can provide for us. But
yeah.
But yeah, I think
we need that to happen. It probably won't, but let's manifest it right now. I love it. Lauren, amazing. I feel like those are all just like incredible. I mean, everyone's just like incredibly Tottenham about this, but they are like peak perfect Tottenham answers. Thank you. So unfortunately, we can't avoid it. We've got to get into the actual football. It's so annoying because some of it, we've got two games to discuss. And we were all really buzzing after the weekend one. And now we are assuredly not. But do we want to do so? We're going to go for winners and losers again. I'm going to go to you first, Sam. And I'm going to let you pick, actually, whether you want to do a loser first or a winner first.
I'm going to go for a winner.
Nice. Positive vibe. I like it. Winner.
And I feel like he's going to be a winner pretty much every game. But James Maddison at Bournemouth was sensational. I think, like, I was in a little bit of shock when that first goal sort of was starting to be put together, you know, runs going in all directions. I haven't seen that much movement on a Tottenham pitch in a long time. So, yeah, it was just phenomenal to see him sort of moving through the gears. Sorry, my voice is knackered after last night.
You're overcome with emotion. Love for James Maddison, we all share.
I've got his cute little face in my head and I'm getting teared up. but yeah, just moving through the gears. And I think he sort of defines Spurs. He's that player that, you know, we're always chasing after, particularly since Eriksen left. It's just amazing to see how he's filled, you know, the big shoes or shirt, that number 10 shirt.
Yeah.
Almost seamlessly and effortlessly. He's really something else. And yeah, it was a top performance. Particularly the little bit in the corner flag. I'm sure everyone's seen it.
Loved it. Yeah.
Getting a bit of stick from the Bournemouth fans saying that, you know, Southgate doesn't think much of you, and then leaving it outside the
very nicely put.
Yeah, I forget the proper phrase.
Very PC.
Very HD of me. He's great. He's great. I absolutely love the guy. So he's my winner, and I think he probably will be most of the season.
I think so. My only worry about him is injuries, really, because I didn't really realise he's so injury prone, and it's all like little niggly injuries, but things are maybe think we have to kind of take care of him. So I was pleased to see that he didn't start yesterday, but I missed most of the match. But I saw like the last 10 minutes, and like, so I saw when he came on, and it was just like the difference that he makes immediately. Do you feel like you knew he was going to be that good? Like, I didn't.
I mean, for me, I feel like I really rated him because, I mean, Leicester had a diabolical season, but he's always been a good player. And I think putting him in a team with more quality is now enhancing his quality. Mm. I didn't think he would settle this quickly, but I think I knew him coming to a bigger team, and thank God it's us, would unlock another level.
I'm just happy staying for us.
Yeah.
He is just divine to watch. He just has everything you would want in a number 10, basically. He's so creative, isn't he? And his skill is incredible, and his control and his vision. And he does those kind of, it is that sort of Eriksen-esque, those kind of like little sort of skittering runs where he's got the ball so close to his feet. And you think, how is he making it? How can he make his way through all of these players? And he manages it. Anyway, kind of without it being flashy.
Yeah, I think he plays like the
weaving runs that I think have taken people by surprise. Like, everyone knew that he could hit a free kick and you know, can cut inside and shoot, and he's got a weldy in him. But it's just those getting out of trouble situations that he seems to be so good at. You know, the Man United game sticks out. As a good one, just the way that, you know, he'll have two players on his back and he'll just drop the shoulder one way and he's gone. Phenomenal.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
I think Ange making him vice captain and Kuti as well is such a touch because they're taking responsibility on the pitch as well. I think they're playing at a level where they're like, I've got to be and you know, an 8, 9, or 10 out of 10 every game, because that's the level that I need my teammates to get to. So I think it's such a smart move, because I think sometimes what you can get with those creative players is they can become luxury players, but he's working just as hard as anyone else to press. Like him not being on the pitch against Fulham, and I do think Ange actually took too long to bring him on. Him not being there just meant that in terms of how we approach the game and the way that we played, it was missing. And yeah, I mean, it does concern me though, that his injury proneness, because once you start missing 1 or 2, 3 games here and there every month, every couple of months, like it'd be a big loss. But
I know, we'll just have to, it's sort of weird, isn't it? We're already like, how will we manage in games without James Maddison?
Hey, lucky our medical team have a great track record.
So they really do. I would love those guys. Lauren, who's your winner from the last two games then? Who or what?
I'm going to say Vicario.
Nice.
Because I think he got a lot of stick in pre-season, just needed a bit of time to settle. But seeing Fraser Forster, and I know it's his first game in a long time, but seeing that pathetic penalties attempts to just going to fall to the same side every time. We couldn't play out from the back without Vicario, and I now think he's gone from being have we signed him too raw, to we can't play our style of football how we want to build up without him. So I actually think he played really well against Bournemouth, but he also showed his importance by not being in the team yesterday.
Yeah, that I hadn't thought about that at all, actually. Poor old big phrase, because he really did like such a solid job last season, didn't he? And he was so helpful, just kind of coming in and being calm. But actually, when you see some of the things that Vicario can do, it's that confidence, I think, that we haven't seen from a keeper in a really long time. And some of it, to me, is still quite scary. I'm like, why? Why are you doing that there?
We're waiting for Hugo to come mess it up. But yeah.
But I think the defence takes confidence from him as well, because he's very comfortable, like on the ball. Like, as like he's like an actual footballer as opposed to just a keeper, isn't he?
Yeah.
So the defence know that they can play with him. Mm. So it isn't just, oh God, wait for him to like, you know, kick it to us or kick it straight to the opposition, as we have seen so many times in the past. My winner is, which is also my loser, is narrative. Because I think there are two things for a Spurs manager that are just like a rite of passage. And one of them is losing to Man United. And the other is enduring a really embarrassing and pointless early cup exit. And we escaped one of those, but the other one was coming for us. I'm really sad about it. I'm really bummed out, to be honest. I was riding so high. Like the Man United game, I know it was, you know, a week ago now. I was so shocked. I was so shocked by that game. I was shocked by the performance. I was shocked by the result. I was shocked by just that we were like given that gift, and I should have known there'd be some sort of karmic payback for it. But I really thought, you know, maybe this is just going to happen for us, all of these like amazing things at once. And then it just didn't. And I do think Ange has to take quite a lot of responsibility for that, because it was just too many changes, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think far too many. And I think I echo United, because I've never seen us dominate a United team. Like, we've had some, you know, some good results, like Old Trafford in the COVID season. What was it, 5-6-1 or whatever it was?
6-1.
To see us, like to see us actually like dominate like a United team, I've just never seen it before, to be honest. And yeah, to kind of go from that. And I think what disappointed me about yesterday was I thought our kind of second string team looked really good in pre-season. They almost looked like they were clicking a bit more than the kind of first team. And I was just watching them yesterday, and I was like, have you lot not been training? Well, like in between, I know you haven't been playing, but yeah, it just looks very disjointed. And I think, yeah, far too many
just
changes.
Game we've seen so many times before, basically.
Yeah, 100%. And I could get it when you're in European competition and like the you know, the period last season where you were playing every three games because the World Cup was coming, I could get squad rotation. I don't get squad rotation to that extent after three games when we don't have European football, because now we don't have another cup game until January.
Yeah. What's everyone going to do with their like midweek nights now? We've got like nothing else going on. Yeah, we'll have to like find, have lives. What? No. I feel, I just think, I don't know. It felt, the whole energy around the club was so exciting. And even Bournemouth, I thought, could be like a potential banana skin, because I hadn't realised they'd spent loads of money. And they're all quite like excited about what's going on there as well, aren't they? So I thought we could kind of run ourselves into a bit of trouble, but we were just basically, aside from about sort of 10 or 15 minute period, I think we were essentially flawless, and they couldn't really lay a glove on us. I think they had a small period of dominance that they couldn't make count. And then after that, just before and after that, just nothing really. And the thing that's really frustrating about yesterday is I feel like Ange managed the Bournemouth game so well. The substitutions exactly the right time. I was like, that's the man who's been around a while and knows how to deal with these younger players losing their heads a little bit. And then it was like, did he freeze last night? Because you feel like he took too long to bring Maddison on. I don't know, man. Did he want to give them a chance? I don't know. Yeah, you were there, Sam.
Yeah, so I made the long journey down the river. I was on the spill boat.
Were you on the boat? Nice.
Yeah, it was good. I think I lost my voice. I think it's still on the boat somewhere.
Yeah.
In the Thames. I think last night, I think I'll put my Aussie hat on and defend Ange a little bit, because I don't think there's too many people defending him in the Spurs world this morning. But I think he needed an opportunity to either work out whether this lot were going to be right for him. Obviously, we know we've got a few days left to, you know, get our club sorted and, you know, pick the 25 or whatever it is for the Premier League squad. But also an opportunity to put them in the shop window if it's not going to be the case. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of them let him down and let us down. Yeah, there wasn't, like you guys were saying, the cohesiveness. You could see when we're trying to play out from the back, there was that extra second or two hesitation, balls were getting cut out. And we just lacked the confidence that we've been playing with over the last few weeks. And it really showed. We got run off the park and didn't really create a lot. We didn't make many chances. It was only until when we brought Maddison on and we started to have a few corners in a row and people started to get off their seat. But it was a tough one, really tough one.
But the thing is, as well, is I just think, like, Ange has had quite a tough start to his, like, Spurs managerial career. Like, if you think about it, like, that's basically, like, a Premier League away tie. And we're away at Burnley this weekend. So that's, like, four of his first five games are essentially, like, PL away games. And the one
tough
game he had at home.
But
also the one game that he had at home was Manchester United. Like, that's a ridiculously tough start to the season. But I wish... I'm all for seeing players and giving other players a chance. And I even don't mind maybe taking ages to make changes. Like, I think, like, different managers do different things, and that's fine. Like, I remember listening to Serena Wiegman talk about, like, why she doesn't make changes very early, because she doesn't just want to throw players on. And they need time to kind of adjust to the game, and sometimes that's just not going to work. And I get that, but at the same time, you wouldn't make that many changes if it was an actual league game. So you shouldn't make it for a cup that's still quite, you know, we need it, man. I feel like we're not the only club that, like, doesn't seem to take these competitions seriously. And I do feel, but we are a club that really shouldn't fuck about with these competitions, to be honest. And it's really discouraging to... I don't know if there's like a sort of... I don't really blame Ange, but it does my one worry now, because I still like I fully believe in Ange. Like, we've all seen enough. Like, he's obviously like a brilliant coach and the team looks amazing. But one of my sort of worries is that, like, we're still the club that we are with all of the sort of problems that go along with that, right? And one of those big problems is the attitude towards these cups.
You think, my question to you guys is, do you think if this game is played, you know, a week or 10 days later after the transfer window is shut, if we make 9 changes to the starting 11?
I think we still make too many changes, because I think that the problem is that it's really difficult to look at what Ange has done in isolation, because every single Spurs manager does the same thing. And I don't know whether it's a cultural thing that comes down from the top, where when you get, you know, given your list of objectives and priorities, the domestic cups just doesn't seem to be on there when it, you know, in what's given to our managers. So everybody seems to rotate. People tend to put, you know, yesterday I'm still seeing players start for us that would have got knocked out by Sheffield or whoever it was. So it's not, you know, they weren't all Ange players. And it's kind of like it's tiring, I think, to see the same thing over and over again. I don't necessarily know if I agree that, I don't know, playing a Højbjerg or maybe playing Davinson Sanchez is suddenly going to have a club say, oh, yeah, I really want to buy him. Because I think it's an experiment that you take, and now, like, now we've come out. And I'm tired of us sacrificing our opportunities to win trophies just because they're not seen as important. We aren't like a Man City or a Bayern Munich or a Real Madrid who win their leagues or are going on Champions League runs. So they think, oh, whoops, we got knocked out of our domestic cup. It's okay, here are our other trophies. We don't have that. And I think none of us we're not going to be in a league, you know, title race. So we've now only got the FA Cup, but everybody takes the FA Cup a little bit more seriously. So I think, you know, if you are a Spurs player where you're actually not getting in the first 11, but you know you're kind of staying at the club, the Carabao Cup was your only opportunity to start games, realistically. And it's, yeah, there's just a lack of, I just feel like there's a lack of care. And it's really hard because it's like we have to stomach the group chats, the laughter, the ha ha ha, look, Spurs are out of another trophy. Like, I just want the players and the hierarchy, I would say, and their message to the manager, I want it to mean a bit more than just, oh, whoops, try again next year.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, I know that being a Spurs fan comes with like plenty of embarrassment, but I'm always like, can we just have like a new way to be embarrassed? Like, I'm done with this. This is so exhausting. I know what you mean. Like, I don't think, like, to me, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, sometimes I don't know what these clubs are doing. Like, to me, it would be crazy to think that they're using these competitions as a sort of, you know, yeah, putting them in the shop window exercise, but who knows, they might be, man. This is a, you know, whenever I think something's too crazy for Tottenham Hotspur, I remember they sacked Jose Mourinho the week of a cup final, and then I'm like, anything's possible, quite frankly. So I don't know. I think, but my feeling is that it's not even like intentional, like it's not even necessarily like even so much as a directive, like these are your objectives, you know, we want to get top four or whatever. I just think there's like a vibe and like a rot that has set in over like so many years, basically, that means you really need, like, it needed Ange to be like, actually, I am going to take this really seriously and I'm going to play my first 11, you know, and maybe he'll learn from that, to be honest. But we could, you know, we could get like quite an unlucky cup draw and then we'd just be like out of that in the first round again. So it's just the other thing that's really, really disappointing. Sorry, Sam, you go.
My apologies. What I really would have loved to have seen was just a few less changes. I think because the spine of the team that's made it tick for the last 3 Premier League matches has been unbelievable. Madison, Bissouma, Romero, Vicario. I was fully up for changing the front three, which he did. And, you know, bringing in Emerson and Davis, I think there'd be no problems. But when you take away, you know, yeah, like I said, the spine and structure and things that have made it tick, it's really left us in a pretty vulnerable state. I feel like Mickey van de Ven was probably the only one that could hold his head up high after last night. There wasn't too many other good performances on the park, unfortunately. But yeah, made it tough.
He replaced them ultimately with players that can't do the same job, because, you know, the spine of our team now are technical ball players.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the ones that come in to replace them, you know, your Højbjergs, your Davinson Sanchez, you know, good in some areas, but in terms of actually keeping possession of the football, which is what your whole identity is based around, that's not their strength. So it's kind of...
And that's okay, but that's not the team that Ange is creating. That's not the team that we want to see. Yeah.
But I think most Spurs fans could have told you that last season.
They're learning, Ange is learning. But I'm like, Ange, if you just literally listen to any one of a million Tottenham podcasts, they could have told you that already. Have I asked you guys, this is very professional of me, have I asked you guys for your losers already? Or have we just like spiraled a little bit?
We spiraled. We haven't given our losers yet.
In that case, Lauren, go for it.
I'm going to say Oliver Skip.
Oh, Skippy.
I know, because I think going into the season, it was kind of, you know, what role does he fit into? And then who will play, him or Pape Sarr, whilst Bentancur is injured? And I thought, when he got those couple of goals against Barcelona, I was thinking, oh, maybe he's going to play himself into the team. And obviously, Papasar's been fantastic. And I thought yesterday was his opportunity to kind of say, listen, you know, I'm still here. I'm Spurs through and through. But I just don't think he was very good. And I think he's now kind of relegated himself to kind of being fourth choice, fifth choice when Bentancur comes back. And if we do sell Højbjerg and then Ange gets a midfielder that he actually wants, he could drop even further down the pecking order. And then now that we've only got two competitions to play in, I look at him and think, oh, you're not going to get a lot of football now. And so, yeah, I think he's my kind of loser across the games, because even in the Premier League, he turns to Højbjerg first to kind of, you know, shore up what we're doing and kind of calm things down in the middle. So I think somebody that, you know, has got a lot of potential, previous managers have name checked him as a future Spurs captain, it's kind of like your development's going to be stunted now, because he's just dropping down the pecking order.
I mean, but the thing is, we have to keep him, don't we? Because he's homegrown.
Oh yeah, we need him. if we get back into European football, that will come into play. But yeah, I just feel a bit sad for him, because I think I don't want him to end up like Tanganga, to get to a certain age and you've barely made any senior appearances, so type of thing.
Yeah, I think we have absolutely fucked with Tanganga's career.
We've ruined it. Yeah, that's the reality. We've never let him go because we've needed him for homegrown.
Yeah.
And he's now, 25, 26?
God, is he? Jesus.
And he'll be at maximum, 50 senior appearances, if he's even got to that. It's quite sad, to be honest.
Go to, where's he going? To Reno or something?
I saw that fell down earlier.
I did it.
So, yeah, maybe Everton.
Everton seems about right, doesn't it? We'll get into that in a minute. Sam, I want your loser first.
It pains me to say it, but the elephant in the room, Davinson Sanchez, I think, unfortunately. It's
just a knife in my heart, Sam.
I know, I'm so sorry. It was just seeing the enormous contrast going from Mickey playing alongside Romero to Sanchez, confidence in all areas. You know, like he didn't do a hell of a lot wrong last night, but just the odd pass again that he hesitated and took too long. Obviously the penalty, but you got to take your hat off to him. You know, if Sanchez is stepping up to take the third penalty, where are the rest of them? I think that's a big question.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much trying to dig out Sanchez, but just the drop off from how good Romero and Mickey have been together to sort of seeing you know, glimpses of the old Tottenham pre-Ange with Sanchez there. So yeah, sorry, Dav.
And sorry to me also. No, I mean, you know, yeah, it's really heartbreaking. I know, I, you know, Dav is he is what he is now. And I just think, you know, I maintain he can be improved. I think the reality is it is what you said, Lauren, earlier about technical players. And yeah, he has strengths, and that is, and he just isn't that player. And so hopefully, I mean, God knows if he'll, in kind of the latest, the last I heard was that he was probably going to stay. But I don't know. My hope for him is that he gets a move now and he goes somewhere that's just kind of better suited to his footballing abilities, because obviously he is good. He's just never really, just bar that first year, he just hasn't looked it at Tottenham. Okay, so do we want to get into the transfer window madness? I hate the transfer window. I hate it. It makes me really stressed out, and I hate watching all of my dear friends get themselves in a real tizz about it, going, why aren't we buying anyone? But I have to admit, this transfer window, even I am now like, what the fuck are we doing? Isn't we've got so much money. Harry Kane is out there taking photos of himself in fucking Lederhosen. Don't pretend you don't have any money.
Our net spend this summer is £11 million. That is disgraceful.
Mm-hmm.
Disgraceful, as in the newly promoted clubs are spending more money than we are. And for me, it's actually not the incomings, it's the outgoings. We have been trying to sell some of the same players for 3 or 4 years. This isn't good enough.
Also, nobody wants them. Stop trying to get a fucking fee.
Like, I just think, you know, at some point, you just have to cut your losses.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to take... You're ruining these players' careers. Like, you won't accept, like, the offers. And I just think, you know, our squad is so bloated. And to be constantly told every summer, oh, we've got to sell to buy, we've got to sell to buy, it's just not good enough.
Sell them.
Exactly. You know, when I look and think, for example, like Hugo Lloris, what are we going to do? We can't have our most highly paid player in the squad as our third choice goalkeeper. Like, it's just not sustainable. Where is the solutions? It's just, and I think that's what really frustrates me, because it's kind of like other clubs with better recruitment would have moved on the likes of Davinson Sanchez. Sorry, Rosa. But
yeah,
and it's kind of like you want to think about incomings and like who are we going to sign? But we've just got serious problems in that recruitment department.
Sam, do you have any confidence that this transfer window is going to end well? Even a little bit of confidence.
I'm hoping we'll pick up a player or two last minute, but it's not looking good, is it? It's really frustrating to see, like, you know, we're haggling over, like, you know, a couple million pounds or something when we're trying to get players out the door. Just seems crazy, you know, when we're not cutting our losses at some point. And surely at this stage, it's worth more to the club to have that space in the squad and to sort of clear the bloatedness of it all. Because you hear Ange's interviews, he doesn't want to have an enormous squad. He just wants to know his players and crack on with it. But I feel like we're letting him down at this point. It's disappointing, because it shouldn't have been this way. Optimism's pretty low in terms of outgoings and incomings, unfortunately. But, you know, I've been surprised before.
Yeah. I mean,
we are a deadline day club, aren't we? That's
we really are.
Reality.
So, yeah. I don't know. Sam, do you have like a player that you're like, if we can only get one, let's get this guy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sad to see the Tapsoba chat go really quiet. I would have loved to have had another. Sorry, that's my phone gone off. I would have loved to have had another a centre back in there just to really shore up the defense. Feel like we'll need that in the long run. You know, we know Kuti gets injured, surprisingly around Argentina games. And yeah, we're going to need a little bit of reinforcement there. Obviously, I'd love a striker, but I'm holding my optimism with Richie. He's going to kick on, and that won't feel like such a problem in a few weeks' time.
Do you think? Do you feel like any of these deals are going to get done? Like, do you think, Lauren? Do you think like Brennan Johnson's going to happen? Or I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? We just could say anything, and then tomorrow or Friday, I'll just be like, this is not happening.
I don't know. I think we're either going to do. I've seen us linked to Ansu Fati and trying to get that loan.
The last I heard, that was happening.
Yeah, I mean, so, if it doesn't have an option to buy, I just think it's bad business. Because why are we developing Barcelona's players? I think it's either going to be maybe Fati, maybe Johnson. I think any other incomings, like I keep seeing us linked to Conor Gallagher as a Højbjerg replacement as well, which makes me feel sick.
You're not a fan.
Sorry, like you look at United and they bought Mason Mount, and then we actually bought the good version in James Maddison. I just think, okay, Conor Gallagher would just be running around the pitch. What else is he going to offer other than pressing? But I don't. Yeah, it just really annoys me that, like, again, we need another centre half. We needed minimum two, and we've only bought one. And I look at our team and think we're just one injury away from the wheels coming off. Like, if Van de Ven or Romero get injured, we're then like, oh, okay, we might have to play Sanchez if we don't have someone else, you know, or are we going to have to reintegrate Eric Dier back into the squad? If Maddison gets injured, if Lo Celso isn't firing, who else do we have to play there? So, personally, if I have to prioritise, I'm going to prioritise I would prioritise getting another defender in. But it looks like we're going for the forward line, but yeah, it's just not good enough that, you know, we're sat here, what, one day, 2 days before the window closes, and some of our players have been for sale for a very long time,
and we've got loads of, I mean, you know, just, I know that we can't match the sort of spending power of other clubs, but I'm at this point, like,
£100 million. We sold our best. We saw it.
He's not on the wage books anymore either.
Exactly. And you look, this is why I don't like you. You've lost Kane's wages. You could just write off Lloris's contract. You would lose his wages. That means you've freed up what, 400 grand, 450 grand a week just from two players. You've sold our best player that we've ever produced, and it's kind of like, okay, cool, we're just not going to really use that money for anything. Anyone that tells me we've already spent the money, then you're being brainwashed and your standards are far too low, because
even for Tottenham and our standards are pretty bad.
Yeah, we should be putting pressure on the club, because if not, you then set yet another manager up to fail because he's got an incomplete squad. If the mood changes, people get restless, and then he gets sacked. Then we have to start another new build with another manager, and we never quite get through what we need to do because we just don't handle the transfer windows very, very well.
I think basically what we're all doing, aren't we, is we are just like begging the club to not waste these good vibes, to not use the good and vibes as an excuse to not do anything. Like, use it. Like, we're all here. We're so ready to love this club again. It's not hard. We're not asking them to spend like 200 million on one player or whatever. Like, I don't really feel like we ask for a lot, but it's just don't repeat the same mistakes. Like, I just don't want to, too much deja vu, man. Deja vu, Groundhog Day, I don't know. No, one of those things. Just bad vibes. I only want good vibes. We had so many good vibes. I think we're going to have them back again. And that is a really good point, I think, to discuss Burnley. Good vibes, bad vibes, what are we saying? Sam? Are you going to Burnley? Have you decided?
I need to send a text after this. But it's, yeah. don't know, give me some optimism and I'll probably say yes to that, but I think I will. Yeah,
I know you don't need much, actually, let's be honest.
Right away, whilst it's going well, whilst the vibes are good. Off you
Lauren,
go.
Just so you know, Rosa sent me a text before and she said, never been to Burnley, don't plan on it either. So
I'm so sorry if there's anyone from Burnley listening to this, but it's really true.
To answer your question, optimistic, I think, yeah, we're... You know, the strong 11 will be back. The best 11 will be back. The football will be back. And it will just be, back to business. I think we'll save the score predictions for later. Is that right?
You can give me a score prediction right now if you're feeling bold.
Right now, I'm feeling 3-0 win. Like, I'm feeling that
amazing.
Good.
Okay.
We'll go up there. All right. We'll smash them up. It's going to be fine.
Smash them up. I love it. Yeah. And do you have any concerns about the first 11?
No, feeling good. Okay. I want to see them, back and back where we left off at Bournemouth.
I think this is it, right? It's so cool to have this feeling where you just, and at the very least, the first 11 is amazing, and you're really, really, really buzzing to see them play, and anything feels possible when you watch that team. It's depressing to think that we can't, you know, the sort of squad is sort of simultaneously bloated and really thin. Very, very Tottenham. But at least we have that first 11.
The deeper than the first 11, I think, in the way that we've played United and Bournemouth, it's not just the 11 that does the job. I think when we play that first 11, that get the first, hour or so, or just beyond that, done, and then we've got your likes of Højbjerg that comes on and clogs it up, and I think it works really effectively that way. But when we're relying on Højbjerg to do the Bissouma role,
he was brilliant at, was it United when he came on and was just like, yeah, exactly. But you're right, you can't ask him to be Yves Bissouma. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Lauren, how are you feeling about Burnley?
Good. I just can't believe that I'm starting to count down the days until the team plays again. It feels weird being so
nice.
It feels weird just being so excited. Like, oh my God, my team play football today. I think we'll be fine. I think, kind of the stronger team back on the pitch, back to kind of fluid football. I think predictions wise, I'm gonna say 3-1. But I think, I'm all for Ange Ball, really. Now it's just about kind of, I just need them to come flying out the traps and recognise actually that the fan base are really disappointed. You can't just brush it off and pretend it doesn't matter, even if you weren't playing. So I think...
Yeah, we're going to need a huddle in front of the fans, all that good shit, yeah.
Yeah. Just let us know and remind us that you care. I don't think obviously Burnley will be a very different Burnley than what we're used to seeing, because it's Vincent Kompany's team and they try to play possession based football, but I just think we have more quality than them. I think one of the good points that came out of yesterday, I'm so happy Rishi's got his first goal, because at least he's not going to be like, hopefully won't be in his head about, oh my God, I need to score. Like, I need you to contribute to the team. I need you to hold the ball up. That's your job. You're the striker, which he just didn't do yesterday. So hopefully the goal kind of relaxed him. I believe in him. I'm not that fussed if we don't get a number 9. I'm happy to wait until January as well.
Same.
Just to assess it and then see what our options are. For me, he's like Romero, like, you're Brazil's number 9. I know there's a player in there, so I just want to see it in a Tottenham shirt. So I'm willing to be patient with him. Like, don't test my patience, because she cost £60 million for our record signing. But I think we have to keep the faith in him, because it's not easy replacing... No, so not replacing, but it's not easy going from kind of being Harry Kane's backup striker to then suddenly... Because you're always going to be compared, and your fellow professionals are bloody laughing at you on podcasts. So, hopefully he's ready. He's more relaxed, and if he can grab a couple of goals at the weekend, I'll be happy.
I just think we have to like not get in our heads about him either. So I love how like people are very, like by and large, I think people are very supportive of him actually, aren't they? I think it's just such a shame about last season in obviously so many ways, but just the fact that we bought him a year before we sold Kane should have given him time to like bed in.
He just couldn't stay fit.
I know, he was so unlucky.
And I actually think it's probably going from a team like Everton to then being under Conte's fitness regime probably just really didn't help his body. It was a big adjustment. So hopefully if he stays fit, he's a good guy. Like you want to root for him. And I think we've had strikers over the years where you just think you want to, like Soldado, you just want to root for them.
oh God, you invoke the ghost of Rob Soldado. Oh God.
But we know that there's a player in there. We know that there's talent. So it's just kind of waiting for him to really show it consistently in a Spurs shirt. We've seen glimpses. So come on, Rishi.
It was amazing to see him score in front of the away end last night, and then the away end just to be absolutely rocking for 5 minutes singing his song.
Oh man,
it was proper loud, like 6,000 Spurs fans just all backing him. So I think he'll take that well,
and he'll feel the love,
100%.
Yeah, he gets what it means. I think he's one of those humble players. I think he knows like that we spent a lot of money on him. He knows that it's a big club. He knows what his job is. So I think come on, Rishi, make it work.
He's going to. I mean, we don't know, but fingers crossed. The other thing that's really cool is that, and I'm just going to, knock on my kitchen table right now because I hope I don't curse it, which is that our defensive partnership of Romero and Van de Ven have not actually conceded a goal yet while they've been on the pitch together. So that's definitely not going to jinx this weekend at all.
It's okay, my desk is wooden, so I'm holding on to it for dear life.
Touching all the wood I can.
I'm so sorry guys, I don't know why I said that out loud. I take it back, but I'm very, very excited to see them all together, and I'm very excited that we just managed to get ourselves from our sort of dark place right back to our happy place, which that's why we're all here. I feel like we're done with the men's team for now. Unless there's, no other business, I think we'll move on to the women. And Lauren, I'm so pleased to have you here. So there's someone else for me to chat to about the women's team. Actually, first, Sam, I do want to give you a shout out. I really appreciated what you guys said last week about ways to get fans to the games. And I know that you have got a lot of cool ideas about it, and the fact that you're going to be there taking loads of amazing photos of the women's team and the fans is something I'm really, really excited about. And I can't wait to see that, basically. So I can't wait to see you at the games. So thank you, because you're really putting your walk in the walk as well as talking the talk. And I thank you for that. So I will, don't worry. We have made, I think, Lauren, the last time you and I chatted about this, we'd made like one sort of half site. We had the loan, I think. And now we've made like a couple of actual proper signings. We've got a goalkeeper and a midfielder. How are you feeling about the sort of the general setup? Actually, do you know what? How are you feeling about the manager? Do you feel good?
Do you know, I think I feel positive from what I've, I guess, read, but, we've had two pre-season friendlies, they're behind closed doors.
Why don't they, like, stream those? I don't understand if you don't want to let us in, but surely we could get to see something. Yeah, it would generate some excitement, no? I don't know.
Yeah, and do you know what's hilarious? That as part of the women's season ticket, there was a Spurs play discount. So it's kind of like, well, why don't you use the platform that you have, which you want people to pay for, to show the women's team. So I think there's like a general excitement in terms of, I think the women's team will also turn into this kind of possession based, high pressing, attacking team. Yeah. And I think that, is the identity of what a Spurs team looks like. I still think there's a lot to do in terms of the squad and more incomings. The problem with women's football is that most like the mid-tier clubs or below, most people only sign for like 2 years, maybe two plus one. So you're constantly like rebuilding our squad. With, you know, every summer we let a whole load of players go, and we constantly have to bring in. So I don't, at this moment in time, we're not back up to kind of full quota. We're still, you know, really light in the fullback areas, for example. We could do with a bit more quality out wide.
So is that something that we as a club can change, like, or is it just something that's so kind of embedded in the, like, could we actually offer players longer contracts, for example?
I think we could. I think we're now seeing the like the up, like the top tier of clubs, if they're signing what they, you know, quote unquote, to be a really, really good player, they are giving 3 or 4 years. But it seems to be Spurs
hasn't
policy.
Quite trickled down yet.
I think Bethington got 3 years. I think, but most of our players are
poor
on two. But it's just kind of, it's hard to actually to be here and give an update on the team, because there's just not a lot of outwards communication to the
as
fan base.
Pre-season
for Spurs women is so different to well, I mean, obviously I'm a fan of both teams, but it's such a different experience. You know, you don't get as much of what's going on in training. You don't really get that many kind of transfer rumors or what's going on. You barely get updates on pre-season games. They're played behind closed doors.
We had that funny little report about the, because we, what was it? We drew 0-0 with Villa the other day.
Yeah.
We had this sort of really hilarious little report that kind of made us sound pretty good. I was quite like impressed. We talked, you know, it talks about us kind of high pressing and stuff. But it was just sort of, you don't know how much of that is actually real, and it would be so good to be able to actually see it, right?
Yeah. And I think,
Sam, you've got a question.
Just to throw back to the streaming thing, like what we were talking about last week is how to get more punters interested in the women's team, and how is that not being streamed? Like, surely right now is the time to be tapping into all the young kids that want to be watching as much football as they can, because they've got the World Cup fever, and you know, we can't go to the games, let alone stream it.
Not for ages. This is it. The season doesn't start at the beginning of October. Yeah, you can't. That's it. You can't even.
I'm trying to give you money.
Yeah, it's, and I think,
let me help you, Dunham.
That's the really kind of hard part of kind of following this team, because it feels like I'm always complaining about the marketing, about the way it's being run, but it's kind of like, you know, you compare it to the men's team, and obviously there's not as much money, but it's literally like you do have your own streaming platform. You've put it in your offering. Just show the games, because clearly there may be highlights, or they might do, you know, some sort of video. So there's obviously a camera there. So just show the game,
right, for like player analysis.
But I think it makes it incredibly difficult, because you're, you know, when the WSL starts, it's then in and amongst the Premier League season, and then it's about people's availability. But it's, for me, this is a Spurs problem. Yes, to be fair, all clubs need to do well, but what I would call our table rivals have been making signings. They're a lot more open. So I think it is a Spurs problem. For example, I think there were a lot of complaints at the match report that was given for the Villa game. So it feels like tonight's pre-season friendly, there were kind of goal updates, and there was a team sheet, and
that
we're playing. So it feels like they're like, oh,
9-0, thank you very much.
Yeah. to see us, you know, getting the confidence to score goals is very, very good. But I think we need to do more. But I really respect kind of Hometown Glory, because it's like actually talking about the women's team in a space, a coexisting space with the men's team, is the only way that some people are kind of going to get updates and peak interest. But you see it in the numbers of followers. You've got to do a lot more co-marketing, and we don't see that from Spurs, but we do see it from the likes of, like, it really pains me, but Arsenal and Chelsea are really good at doing that.
Yeah.
And you can now, and the profile of their women's teams are a lot bigger.
And I mean, I can't be that mad at them in a way, because I just think they had the sense to get on board much earlier. And I'm sure they didn't have the numbers, you know, 10 years ago, you know, there's no way like loads of Arsenal fans were kind of showing out in the numbers that they do now, or Chelsea fans, until they started kind of winning multiple league titles, because that's what happens, right? You kind of, success, you know, breeds interest and more success, and it's just always so slow with Tottenham, and you've always feel like you have to kind of drag them kicking and screaming.
I wanted to ask both of you, as you weren't on last week, if you had any more to add to, I guess, the question, or the, you know, the implication of how do we get, what do we do about playing games in the stadium? Do we play at Leighton Orient? Like, do you have feelings on that? And how are we going to get more people there?
Yeah, I'm going to leave that to you, Lauren. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've discussed this separately, Rosa. Last season, I was really concerned when they did that doubleheader because of the state of the men's team. It was quite last minute as well. And then it was really difficult to kind of get a ticket to go to both games. It was kind of mismanaged. And it was one of the most disheartening experiences I've had, coming out of the station, walking towards the stadium and just seeing everybody leave.
Oh, did you come to the women's game? Oh, because you were properly like, I'm not seeing these men anymore. I've had it with them.
Yeah, and to be fair, I kind of changed my mind, but then I still couldn't get a ticket. But it was only because of the doubleheader. I do think there's a space for them. For example, now, we've just had the World Cup. Interest is high. We actually have a Lioness this time. We didn't have Beth England this time last year. We can kind of leverage that in our marketing. The mood for the men's team is really good. You could put on a doubleheader now. I think you've got to let the women play first, because you can't give people the opportunity to leave. Again, I don't know who made that decision. The gap between the games was far too big as well. But it's kind of like, sometimes I just feel like I want to shout at the club, like, use your common sense. Now is the time, because I think if we could get the build up to a big, you know, to a game, maybe in a doubleheader format in the stadium, then leverage that to then try and get people to a North London derby at Brisbane Road, for example, or a Spurs Chelsea at Brisbane Road. I don't think we're necessarily, it's too early to suddenly see loads of people going to every single game, but pick the right games and give people a reason to attend. And then hopefully, you know, the football will be a bit better, because sometimes I'm sat there thinking, oh God, there's a lot of people here, and oh God, we've played rubbish.
I know, this is it. Like, I don't want the North London derby at the stadium or Chelsea game. Like, I can't have that many enemy fans on our territory. So what, just be that bad?
Yeah, and I don't think it's really hard going into those big derby games, because you're expecting to lose, and then you're like, oh, don't lose by too many, because we're on BBC One or Two as well. But I just think there needs to, maybe the club needs to work a bit more with the women supporters group. That we've got the advisory board now. We have there's a Spurs women's season ticket holder. Sean, she's the representative on it. It's just got to be work with us. And I think the community of women's fans is a lot smaller. So take the input. And I think ask for those ideas. But I just, at the moment, I just think it's quite lazy. Like last season, I'm thinking, okay, we've got Beth England, we've got Harry Kane. Where was their joint video?
Like, absolutely. You couldn't even buy her shirts, man. Like,
yeah. And, you know, if you go on the Spurs website now, for example, and you want to buy a shirt, you can only get WSL lettering on the home shirt. You cannot get it on the away shirt. Obviously, the third kit's not out yet. You can't get it on the goalkeeper's shirt. And it's just these little things that I think just do better as a club. And I think making the women's team more visible across the men's platform would just help people, I think, take a bit more interest.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I will say this, is that I went to the doubleheader and I was there for the men's game as well. And I was actually, possibly because I'd been dreading it, I was actually pleasantly surprised by the amount of people that did stay. I felt like there was actually quite a good vibe that day. And maybe that's because that was like the game, we won it 4-1 in the end.
Yes, 4-1.
Yeah. And that was the game that really sort of sealed our survival, right? And so it's just like such good vibes that day. I think a lot of people left after the men's game, but then quite a lot of people stuck around. But there was sort of more people leaving at halftime in the women's game, and that was slightly more depressing that people didn't want to stay for the whole game. But I was pleasantly surprised, and I felt like there was a really nice atmosphere. And I stuck around afterwards for ages so I could have my photo with Beth England. And so that was like a personal highlight of the entire season for me. Yeah, meet your heroes if they're Beth England, because she was so, so, so lovely. I think, it's just about, I think when we have these conversations about how do we get more fans into the stadium, I think I almost feel like we have to kind of start with ourselves, like what would make me go? And I know that for me, it's actually like realistically, my aim this season is to try to go to every home game, but that just may not happen because I do want to go to the men's game as well. And I have two small children and I have limited funds. So it's just like the realities of just sort of the logistics of it all. It just may not happen, but it's just about thinking what do I want to see? What would make me go to this game? Would it be if you made it easier, like a double header? Would it be like when Ash suggested, if you got loyalty points for going to the women's game? Things like that, just like, it doesn't always have to be about making it kind of so you can take your kids. Like, it's nice to take your kids, but sometimes you don't, you know, there's loads of people who don't have kids who like to see the women's game. And sometimes I don't want to take my kids either. Sometimes I just want to watch the football and my children would distract me. So it's just about, I think we've got a real opportunity, haven't we? We've got a new manager. Hopefully we're playing better football. There will be people who don't know that we were in a relegation battle last season. So we can use that. We use their ignorance, basically. And we can just like, just to promote the women without any sort of sense of shame about it, really. Just be like, just pretend we're a really good team. And then maybe we will be. I think the other good thing is that while I'm watching teams like Liverpool and Brighton and West Ham make really good signings, as galling as that is for us as Spurs fans, it will make the league stronger and make the games better. So Liverpool just bought like Japan's top scorer. She didn't win the Golden Boot overall.
Yeah, she won the Golden Boot. May or may not have been hijacked now by Manchester United.
Oh man, that club.
Yeah, it makes me feel a bit better though, because then
yeah, I know what you mean.
Won't be as strong.
But to have her come into this league,
yeah,
you know,
that's huge. But I think the problem or the need is we need to keep up, because
yeah,
that was my first ever experience of actually going through a relegation battle, and it was not nice.
I never want to have to live through that again. It was, but the fact that it went right, I mean, what, we were like safe two games before the end of the season? No, thank you.
Yeah.
We're not doing that again.
It was tough. And it shouldn't be the case. And I would say for fans who will, I don't know, watch the men's team and watch the youth team and accept that it's a different product, take responsibility and put your misogyny aside and accept mm-hmm. that the women's game is also different,
yeah.
But this is your club. So support your club. No one's saying that you need to maybe always come in person, but watch some of the women's clips that are on a subscription that you may already pay for. Engage with some of the stuff on social media. Not comment underneath some of the women's posts asking about transfers for the men's teams. Like, it's just exhausting. Just get behind your team at the end of the day, because, you know, honestly, the more fans that we have, the more revenue that we make, the more money, hopefully, that will get invested back into the team. I think it's, you know, we're in that position where we're a big six men's team and our women's team is quite far behind, but that's an opportunity, I think, for everyone to kind of take responsibility and say, you know, this is my club, and my club has various teams that I'm going to support, and don't just discount the women's team.
And also, our women's team has loads of really fun players that are not just named Beth England, quite frankly.
We've got really good like young talent, and but then also players like Ash Neville who have been with the team for years, and we've seen that trajectory and growth of the team, and she's improved. And one thing that you're going to get from our women's team is you're never going to question their commitment and their passion for wearing the shirt. They show up every time. We may not play good football, we haven't the last season especially, but in terms of that enjoyment and what we lost as in the men's team over the last few seasons, and feeling like the players don't care, these women care. So it's a case of if you want to feel connected and have an identity, like, you know, the women's team will flourish at, really.
And they're literally not so separate from us either. Like the fact that you can stick around and get a photo with one of the players. Like, when would you ever get the chance to do that with one of the men? They just get kind of whisked off, right? So, or, you know, if you happen to be right there, maybe a player, maybe you'll be lucky enough to get the shirt, but you can literally just like go up to a player and be like, thank you for, you know, saving my club from relegation. I think, how do you feel about the two signings that we made over the last few days? So we've got a new goalkeeper, Barbara, I'm really going to mangle her name, Votikova. Czech goalkeeper, I believe we got ESG.
You pronounce that a lot better than I did. Do you know what I think? I remember at the end of last season, I was thinking we're going to need a new goalkeeper. I think Becky Spencer had a great World Cup, but we've seen her play better for Jamaica than she has done for Spurs over the last kind of couple of seasons. So I think we always seem to kind of have two number ones. That's the like seems to be our goalkeeping policy. I think Barbara will be a good signing. We're talking about people with big profiles. She's got like a really big YouTube channel and whatever. So she's actually probably one of our most followed players. So hopefully she'll bring some fans along with her.
That'd be good.
I think from what I've read, she's good on the ball. And I think if you want to switch to a possession, you know, based football, you need to have a goalkeeper that's good on the ball. Becky is also that. So it'll be interesting to see how they battle it out for number one.
That'd be exciting though, because I'm excited to have a new goalkeeper, but I'm really, really excited to see Becky back because she was so, so, so brilliant at the World Cup. And we've also got a midfielder, another to finish player, Olga Artinen.
Yeah, I'm really gonna have to learn how to. I've got.
I was annoyed because she did this. She did this amazing. Like she did her video for like introducing herself was so good. She literally like talked us through like how she likes to play. I was like, that's the content that we need. But then she didn't tell us how to pronounce her name. So a bit more of that, please, Olga. But that's the kind of content that was really good. I thought actually, and she just said, I'm a midfielder. I like to connect defence and attack. I like to play high up the pitch. I like to make passes that create goal scoring opportunities. I'm a hard worker. I like to pass. I'm good with both my feet. I'm like, nice. Like, that's what we need.
Yeah, you really need it in women's football because it's like a lot of the time, if you're in the mid tier of clubs, like you make some obscure signings and you can't just go in, like, it's funny, like Danny Rose, but you can't just go and Google them.
You literally can't.
There's not a lot of information about them. So for her to describe what type of player that she is, again, somebody, this type of player who wants to get on the ball, who wants to dictate possession, we're going to need those type of players in the squad. So it's really hard because I think with women's football, someone comes in, you'd be like, never heard of her in my life, never seen her play. Who knows what's going to happen?
She came from a Swedish club, which is quite funny because I assumed that once we got a Swedish coach, we would like be flooded with like Swedish players. We don't want to be Arsenal in that way.
I hope that doesn't just become our recruitment policy because it's kind of like we just had a World Cup and we've seen countries from all around the world do really well. So it's kind of like, go and get some of those players.
What player would you like to sign that you saw at the World Cup? Give me one dream crazy one and one like realistic one.
I actually had Miyazawa on my realistic signing. Yeah, because I was like, she was playing in Japan. So it's kind of like, you're not trying to kind of, you know, having to put in a crazy bid or somebody that's playing at that kind of level. So it's really frustrating because she was my she was my pick, and my kind of out there pick, who's also now gone to Barcelona, was kind of like Esme Brut.
Yeah, I saw you tweet about her, and you were like, "Who's going to be stopping Barcelona next season?"
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of, I think we again doesn't matter which team, we need to be smarter in the transfer window.
We do,
and how we go story. About our business. Yeah.
Okay. Well, So we need. Again, we probably, well, we did, at least the women have a bit more time to get their business done. So we'll try our best to reserve judgment until, I presume the women's transfer window shuts at the end of September.
Yeah. Towards then. So yeah, there's a lot more time. And also because players tend to be on shorter contracts, you get
there'll be more movement.
Far more free released, transfer market as well. But yeah.
Yeah,
maybe we're saving all our pennies for the women's spending spree.
I mean, I said this at the time. I was like, use the Kane money and put in a bid for Lauren James. Why not?
Mary Fowler, that's all I'm saying.
No, but like, we lost our, we had Kaya Simon, who, she didn't play in the World Cup because she did her ACL at the beginning of the season. But I'm like, where are Aussie players? Like, it just makes sense. There are eyes on the club anyway.
Get them in.
Yeah, from an Australian perspective, really, you know, Cooney Cross was another one that was on my list. She's being linked to Chelsea. So I'm just a bit like, come on, guys.
Chelsea, please. Stop buying all the players.
I know, they're hoarding again, as usual. But yeah.
Actually, they are going to need to, I don't want to talk about Chelsea, but like the women's team are going to need to buy because they have lost a couple of big names.
They've done a lot of business early, like pre-World Cup early.
Yeah.
Emma Hayes doesn't slack, unfortunately.
She doesn't, man. Regrettably, she is amazing.
Yeah.
One day, when she's done everything she wants to do, she's won Champions League, and she needs a new challenge.
Come and build a winning team.
That's right, Emma. amazing stuff. All that remains now is for your culture recommendations. Sam, hit me.
So, a couple for you. Record, I've been listening to a lot. It's been rotating for like the last month, but really, really flogging it the last week. So it's Cub by Wonder Horse. And I just found out today that they're a British band. Took me by surprise because they definitely sound super, super sort of Midwest American, late to the game. So debut record was released last year. But yeah, sort of through a friend, caught hold of them. They sound a little bit like Fontaine's DC or Nick Drake, if that's your vibe. But really, really enjoying that lately. Used it.
Nick Drake is like everybody's vibe, really.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. It's great. And yeah, a little bit of a risky track to put on one of my videos this week. But yeah, it did well.
Nice.
Good reception. And then my other one would be probably even more of a risky recommendation, which is I Think You Should Leave by Tim Robinson on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of this, but I haven't ever like got round to investigating it in any way.
Probably because someone told you that they're really enjoying it, but they're too scared to recommend it to you.
What
I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. But it's a comedy. It's basically, it's a guy from SNL, and it's kind of started off him doing all of the skits that he probably couldn't get away with on SNL, but he created a show. So yeah, sort of 20-minute episodes, but it gets very, very silly. So it's either going to be your cup of tea or you're going to think that I'm a weirdo.
comedy, I'll just say this, comedy is very subjective, so it's okay. What is it most like?
I guess like SNL, but just way silly. Mm-hmm. Just give it a go. If you want to have a laugh, you know, after last night, I needed a little bit of a laugh today.
Yeah.
Let me ride out. Okay. But yeah, it's either going to be for you or it's not. And, you know, that's fine.
Cool. Okay. I Think You Should Leave Netflix. Okay, cool. Lauren, what about you?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with a song. Shout out to Shalina Sazorski because she absolutely loves Stormzy as well.
Nice.
Our Spurs captain. But I was at Stormzy's festival 2 weeks ago. I've still got the cough. and the cold because it got caught in a thunderstorm. But Stormzy,
oh my
and
god,
Ray,
that was such a good lineup.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a
so
nice,
jealous.
Nice day out on a lovely Friday. But yeah, there was a massive thunderstorm. To the end, like he did Blinded by Your Grace, and it just felt like we were being baptized because the rain.
Oh my god,
just
in the
coming.
thunderstorm, incredible!
Yeah,
but
yeah,
that
like
just
the
feel,
rain
that's
was
like
just
a
coming
oh, like a life moment. Amazing.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. So one of his new songs at the moment that I can't stop listening to, with Ray, is called The Weeknd. It's kind of like kind of old school R&B vibes, but obviously Stormzy's rapping on
Right,
it.
in my
But
wheelhouse. Very nice.
yeah, that is on repeat at the moment. So yeah, there's my song recommendation. And show wise, I'm actually doing a bit of a throwback. So I'm re-watching Scandal. It's on Disney Plus.
I never got past season two because I was addicted. I was real, like I couldn't stop thinking. I race for every episode. I couldn't stop thinking about it, and then it hit like season two, I think, and I was like, I can't no more. Is it Shonda? Is too you're too much.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair,
you're doing the whole thing again. Did you do the whole thing the first time?
Yes, I did. But I found myself, I always get really hooked on Shonda Rhimes shows. So I remember that, like, Holy Trinity, like when Grey's Anatomy was coming out, and How to Get Away with Murder, it was always like Thursday nights. But I am, yeah, I went through a lull period, like, where I just couldn't find anything to watch. So I was like, I'm going to restart Scandal. So at the moment, I'm on series four. But for people that kind of enjoy that kind of American political type drama with a bit of kind of romance and whatever, dropped in.
Like loads of murder.
Yeah. Kind of, I don't know. I always, you know, one of those what if shows where you think, do our governments really run like this?
Yeah,
type thing. So yeah, that's what show I'm watching at the moment.
I mean, yeah, I couldn't get through it in the end because
no,
it
you've
just
got to push through.
It got too much. It got too much for me. I feel the same with all of her shows. I find like I'm into them at the beginning and then I'm like, I can't. My dad is really into Grey's Anatomy at the moment. Like he didn't watch it from the beginning.
That one I discovered.
And now he's like watching it all like in the middle of the night when he can't sleep. It's very, very, very sweet. And I have to be, because my thing with Grey's Anatomy is I stopped watching it, but for some reason I felt compelled to always know what was happening. And I did the same with Scandal. So I just read like loads of recaps just because I felt like I needed to know, but I couldn't actually watch it. Yeah. Just to go back to your other recommendations, I saw Ray when she supported SZA back in June. And she was so delightful, man.
Yeah, she's a really nice person.
She's
like,
so good.
Genuinely. Like, and I think she had a lot of issues with her record label, and she's kind of out of that contract now, so
yeah.
I think she's just finding a newfound freedom in her music, and it kind of shows. So yeah, support Ray's music as well.
Lovely. Like extremely talented and seems very genuine as well. My culture pick is, I haven't finished it yet, it is Barbara Kingsolver's novel Demon Copperhead, which I think it won the Women's Prize for Fiction quite a couple of months ago. It is her sort of riff on David Copperfield, which is another book I deeply, deeply love, but set in sort of very, very poor rural areas in Appalachia, which is where she lives. She's like very, very committed to that area. And she has this really cool Instagram account where she like just posts pictures of all the cool things she's been growing. But her writing, man, like I read a lot. But when I read her, I was just like, she just makes everyone else look like a complete amateur, basically. She just knows how to write a sentence, how to write a character, how to make you just see something completely differently within like a few pages. I've never read anything of hers before. And she's obviously been going for a really long time. And it really feels like someone who's been writing for a long time and has like got it down. And knows what they're doing and knows how to craft something absolutely perfect and incredible. So I love that as well, because I'm all about these days with Ange, I'm all about the experience, basically. You just can't write off someone because they're just old, you know? People are like, oh, who's Ange Postecoglou? He's really old and he's never done anything. But actually, he is our dream man. So I feel like I've managed to tie that in. Yeah.
All roads lead to Spurs, basically.
They really, really do. Guys, thank you so much for joining me. I've enjoyed this so, so, so much. It's been absolutely wonderful. I'm really glad to have you back, Sam. Lauren, I'm really glad we could like officially welcome you into the HG family. Hope you guys have enjoyed it too. It's been a real delight.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Thank you. So see you on the other side, I guess. Up the Spurs.
Spurs.